Hello and welcome to our podcast about travel for school and leisure. I'm Laura, and in this episode you'll be hearing from me, Thomas.
Good morning.
Samuel.
Hello everyone.
And Kwame.
Hello everybody.
In today's show, we'll be talking about eco-friendly ways of transport and our carbon footprint.
This is really important to our community because we care about our only home, and if we damage it, we can damage future generations.
Did you know that 2023 was the hottest year on record, mainly because of human activity increasing greenhouse gases and causing climate change?
Did you also know that the average speed of traffic in central London is the same as the walking speed of a chicken?
Did you know regular walking or cycling can make you 50% less likely to catch colds and flu?
During morning peak traffic times, 1 in 5 cars on the road are taking children to school, contributing to congestion, air pollution and carbon emissions. The school run alone is responsible for generating 500,000 tonnes of CO2 per year. Imagine what we could achieve if we began converting some of these rides to strides. Now I'd like to bring in our first guests, pupils from Year 7 and 8. Please introduce yourselves.
Hello, my name's Lily and I'm from Year 8.
Good morning, my name's Sophie and I'm in Year 7.
Hello, my name is Paddy and I'm from Year 7.
Good morning, my name's Michael and I'm in Year 7.
Thank you and welcome to our podcast. We have a series of questions to ask you. For example, how do you think the world is changing eco-wise?
I think that people are becoming more aware of the consequences of climate change. And I think, for example, that our school has made eco-friendly containers for our food.
Adding on to that, I feel like people are more aware about the pollution that travel causes, so they use different modes of transport, such as cycling or walking home to boost health.
What impact do you think different types of transport have on our environment?
I think cars have a big impact because it's ruining our ecosystem, and it's more healthier and safer to travel by sustainable transports.
To add on to that, I think buses are better than cars because buses are, they can hold up to 70 people, and cars can only hold up to 5 people.
How do you travel to or from school?
I take the bus, either the 114 or I could take the 183 and the SL10. The SL10 and 183, after I have to take the 302, and that would take me straight to my house. But if I take the 114, I have to walk from 2 to 5 minutes to get home. But I could also walk. Sometimes on special occasions, I get off at Queensbury, and then me and my friends, we walk for 30 to 40 minutes straight to our houses so we can talk and get some good exercise while we're there.
I cycle to school because I feel like it's more efficient, and it's just easier because I've been doing it for many years of my life. And
I travel to school by car because it's easier for my mum to get to work because it's very nearby, and she can drop my brother off to primary school.
I also take the car because I live further away, so it'd be harder for me to take any other mode of transport, and it's more convenient for my mum to drop off my little brother to school after.
Why do you think a lot of Year 7s come to school by car?
My mum doesn't prefer me going alone on bus because she likes to know how safe I am and where I am and what I'm doing.
What would make you feel safer travelling to school?
For me, I think my parents would trust me more if I had a tracker, because obviously since we're not allowed to bring phones to school, it's a bit harder for my mum to know where I am. Whereas if I had a tracker, maybe in my backpack, she'd be able to know where I am at all times and to make sure I'm safe.
I think for me, it's mainly cycle lanes, so the cars and the buses don't get slowed down by me if I decide to go slow.
I think that if I walked a little bit more, I could take certain safer routes rather than the routes the bus take, because the bus can only take one certain way, but by walking I can take other ways.
Lily, because you cycle to school, what do you enjoy about this and what do you not enjoy about cycling?
What I enjoy about cycling is that it gets my energy up in the morning, so I'm ready to go to school and do all my work. But sometimes after school, I feel tired. But when I get onto the bike, I feel like an energy boost again, and I'm ready and I'm refreshed, so I can get home and do all my homework.
What do you do if it rains? Do you still cycle?
Yes, it's kind of my only option. But I put a plastic bag around my books and I just cycle to school so they don't get wet.
Now I'd like to bring in our second guest, Mr. Cullen, PE teacher / food tech teacher. Good morning, Mr. Cullen.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you for inviting me.
Why is it important to live an active lifestyle?
Well, that's a really good question. I think in today's society, with all the press that we've been getting about young people and the levels of childhood obesity and them not being very fit, I think it's really important that we need to address just this.
How can pupils build physical activities into their daily lives?
I think it can start from as soon as you get up. I mean, my mum and dad always used to say to me, start the day by being active, by making your bed. So you can start when you wake up, you can start by doing some stretches, and then obviously, you know, you've got your daily routine, which you're active, you're getting ready, you're getting dressed, you go downstairs. Some people even start by doing a little bit of yoga in the morning, even if it's only 5 minutes. Some people do some stretching or mobilisation in their home. And then obviously some people would actually be active by the way in which they would come to school. So there's plenty of opportunities, not just you doing your PE lessons.
How exactly does walking and cycling boost our physical and mental health?
Okay, so obviously apart from the physical benefits, there are the cardiovascular benefits, so obviously improving the strength of your heart, improving your muscular endurance, so using muscles and joints when you're actually doing exercise. And recently, people have been talking about the kind of the mental wellness aspect. So, you know, when you exercise, it releases endorphins, so you feel better about yourself, you feel more active, you feel more alert. And I remember when I first started in St. Gregory's, there was a whole cohort of children that were getting into school late. And what we did is we invited them into the early morning breakfast club, where they had to take part in basketball or football. And what we did at the end of the first year, we had to look at the correlation between how well they did in their studies at the beginning of the year to when the end of the year after they'd done activity. And there was a really strong link between how well they actually did in their academic studies. So it proved to be really beneficial for those students.
What would be your top tips for encouraging more pupils to take active forms on transport?
Well, it's interesting because I actually came in today. I came in late, which I don't normally do, but I came in late because there was no breakfast club because of the exams. And I said to Mrs. Hovey, I said, I saw a whole load of kids coming in, turning left out of the Kenton station instead of turning right down towards the school. And then I looked back and I could see them crossing the road to get a bus, 100, 200 metres, instead of walking to school. And I think it takes only about 8 minutes to get from Kenton Station. So we used to have a thing where we encourage kids to try and walk to school. Obviously, in some instances, they can't. But even if they can do part of the journey whereby they walk, or they can cycle if there are routes that are really safe that they could come in by. I know that London Transport have made it a lot easier for people, and I know there are members of staff who actually do cycle in, and there are some children. And maybe in terms of to incentivise it is to maybe give pupils points if they walk to school, they can get points for that, maybe some prizes. But the main thing is that they're actually going to be getting fit, so that's a prize within itself.
Thank you so much for answering these questions, and we would like to see you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We'd now like to welcome Mr. Vineth onto our podcast. Hello, Mr. Vineth.
Hello, Samuel.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
We have some questions for you. What mode of transport do you use to travel to school?
I come to school by bike more often than not.
And what made you choose to cycle to school rather than travel by car or public transport?
There are a number of reasons why I come by bike. The first is I share a car with my wife, and she needs it more often than I do. She looks after the baby a few days a week. So I have a bike and I like cycling. From where I live, it's probably the quickest way to get to school, particularly leaving school. It's quicker than driving. The traffic's very bad if I'm driving in. It's not very well served by public transport. So it's really a practical way to get in, the quickest way to get in. I always know how long it's going to take me. So I know that it's going to take me 35 minutes. Whereas if I drive, depending on the traffic or if there's an accident or anything, I could risk being late to work. On top of that, it's the cheapest way to get to work for me. And if I'm busy and not getting a chance to do much exercise, it's a good way to keep fit, really. So loads of good reasons.
You're an experienced cyclist. Do you experience any challenges when cycling to school? And if so, how do you overcome them?
Yeah, because I cycle in all year, particularly the last few months, it's been quite wet. So one of the challenges is, well, if I arrive to work wet, well, it's not an ideal situation. So essentially trying to mitigate that, so wearing waterproof trousers, getting a mud guard. I would get changed at school and just making sure I've got a spare set of clothes and things like that. So one is just the weather. And in the winter, you have to make sure you've got lights and you're visible, because even if it's not dark, sometimes it can be quite dreary and you need to make yourself as visible as possible. So the weather is a challenge. And if the roads are wet, then you need to make sure you take a bit more care if there's water on the road or if it's icy. On top of that, you've got the other road users. So the drivers, particularly if they're in a rush, you need to make sure that you are constantly vigilant, because often, even if it's your right of way, a car will pull out and you need to anticipate that and just assume they're going to make the wrong decision just so you don't end up getting hurt. But there are sort of, I would encourage people to go the back way so you don't end up getting people in busy traffic. So that's another one. Maintenance of the bike. So it's not unusual, particularly with the potholes and the weather, to get a puncture. So just making sure you come to school prepared. For me, that means making sure I've got a bike lock. If I need to lock my bike up mid-route and I need to go back and get it at the end of the day, I can do that. And I always take a pump and a spare inner tube so that if I do get a puncture, I can do that. But you'll need to learn how to do that. So they're probably the biggest challenges, the weather, the other road cyclists, and just maintenance of the bike.
What would be your top tips for any pupils who are thinking about cycling to school but haven't yet found the confidence to do it?
I would start small and cycle somewhere which is, you know, free from cars, with, you know, mum or dad or a friend or a sibling, just so you build your confidence up. And if you are thinking of cycling to school, I would try and find a route which is the nicest possible route. So if you live somewhere locally, or if you are going to have to go down the Kenton Road, it's not a particularly nice road to cycle down. There are other routes you could take. So I live kind of near Ealing, and there's about 3 or 4 parks I go through rather than taking the main roads. And it's not always longer, it's often quicker. So it's quicker and it's nicer. So I would say make sure you plan your route ahead. Start off cycling somewhere that isn't so busy. You do get used to the cars, but you're better off taking roads which are slightly less congested, if possible.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wynot, for taking part in our podcast. It sounds like really good advice, and we hope this will encourage more pupils to cycle to school.
Now I'd like to welcome Councillor Harani. Welcome, Councillor Harani, to our podcast.
Thank you for inviting me in.
Why is it important? How efficient and effective do you feel the transport network is, which connects Canton to surrounding boroughs and to the London?
I do not feel that it's efficient and effective enough. Kenton doesn't have direct connections to surrounding boroughs very easily, such as Harrow, Barnet and Ealing. There's so many different changes in connections with the tubes and the buses. I would like more direct routes like the Superloop bus that's just been introduced. I feel that we could do a lot more with our transport system in Kenton.
The road network leading to school is often very congested when pupils travel to and from school. Isn't it the council's responsibility alone to do something about this? Why should we, as young people, feel a responsibility to reduce congestion and pollution in our local area?
It isn't the council's responsibility solely. We have to work jointly with partners such as Transport for London, the schools, parents, local businesses. So it's a team effort, it's a joint up effort to discuss travel to our schools. We've got four schools in this ward in Kenton that I look after, and the problem that I always hear is the traffic. There's so much traffic, there's parking issues, the buses don't stop, the buses aren't frequently. So it's a joint up effort and we need to work together. Your voices matter because you can report back to us, you can report back to me as a councillor or your teachers, and we can raise your concerns to TfL and I can raise them to the council.
The buses are often full to burst when we travel to and from school. And sometimes the bus drivers get annoyed with students or don't even stop for us. What can we do about this?
What you can do is think of another way of your transport to and from home and school. If the bus driver doesn't stop, you could go to the next bus stop, or you could think about walking, cycling. And again, we can raise your concerns about the bus driver not stopping to TfL, and I can raise that to the cabinet member for transport in Brent Council. So if it's happening frequently, we can record it in an evidence log, and then we can have that evidence log produced to TfL to show them stats and statistics about this happening frequently. We need more buses. If they're not stopping and they're full to the brim, we need to have more buses more frequently.
Pupils have been telling us they sometimes feel unsafe crossing Kenton Road because the traffic is so fast and busy. What are you doing about this? And can we, as children, really have a voice and make a difference?
You are the voice. So the children from this school and surrounding schools are the voice. We've already set up a petition based on student feedback and surveys from the students and local residents that have told us that Kenton Road is unsafe. The current traffic light system on Kenton Road and Woodcock Hill, we do not have a pelican crossing. We need a pelican crossing on each side of the road. We've got four roads that come into Kenton Road, that join into Kenton Road. And currently the petition's been signed by over 600 signatures, which we will produce at council on a meeting, at cabinet meeting on the 8th of April, where myself and Ms. Hovey will go and discuss this with cabinet members to see if we can have a pelican crossing put in.
What is your vision for travel and transport in Kenton?
My vision is to have a more slicker approach to transport, have more cycle lanes, more frequent bus routes, more direct bus routes, direct tube links, and to follow in the footsteps of Camden and Westminster, because they have, you know, they have a good transport system. So we need to have a look at others and follow in their footsteps.
Thank you, Councillor Harani, for joining our podcast. We would like to see you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Now I'd like to bring our final guest, our geography teacher, Mr. Kingsland. Welcome, Mr. Kingsland.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me to this discussion.
Why is it important to have reliable and efficient transport?
It's important, I think the main thing is because it connects people. It's a connection to people, to lots of different things. So in your case, it's getting to school, but it's also social activities. So when you go to football matches or see your friends and family. And it's also to, you need to get healthcare. And when you get a bit older, you'll be having to go to work. So you have to get to work, although there is working from home now, which is another option. But yes, it's connections, which is incredibly important in our society.
What impact does the way we travel have on the world around us?
I mean, the main thing is the more fossil fuels we use, the more it goes into the atmosphere. And on a local level, that affects noise pollution, air pollution. So it can make it quite not very comfortable for us at a local scale. But also at a global scale, we're putting these greenhouse gases and fossil fuels into the atmosphere. That's going to cause climate change in the long term. And as we're seeing, maybe even now, there are lots of impacts around the world that we're seeing.
Why should we be worried about famine, drought, and other significant world events taking place in faraway countries?
Well, as I just said, the fossil fuels we use cause local actions, but also climate change can affect lots of areas, and drought and famine, we might not connect that with driving cars around, but actually the climate change is the thing which is actually increasing the amount of drought and the amount of famine that's happening around the world. And poor countries like Bangladesh and some countries in Africa are less able to deal with drought and famine. We actually do have drought in this country, in the southeast. We do have drought now and again, but we as a richer country are able to deal with that better. And that's going to have implications as well in terms of, there's a new term, environmental refugees. So people are going to be losing their homes. Climate change and sea level rise may cause some islands to flood. Those people are going to have to find a new home somewhere else. And that new home will probably be maybe in the UK. So that will affect us as well.
What can we do to help reduce traffic congestion and pollution?
And there are lots of things. So, the biggest one you could do, if you can, is walk to school or cycle to school. If that's not possible, maybe you live a long way away, you use public transport is the next best option. Buses are now electric. Most buses are electric, so they use renewable energy. If you can't do that, then you can share rides if you drive into school. Possibly, it's something we did a few years ago. You can get your parents to drop you off maybe half a mile away, and you can walk the rest and maybe have a bit of compromise with that. There's also options with the terms of the cars your parents can buy. So you can buy electric cars now. You can even get a hybrid car, which is a mix between petrol and electric.
People talk about the importance of reducing our carbon footprint. What does this mean? Why is it important, and what can we do to reduce our carbon footprint?
Okay, so the carbon footprint, in simple terms, it's the total amount of greenhouse gases generated by your actions. So on an individual basis, it's how much greenhouse gases you use. We've talked about travelling, so it includes your daily commute, but it's also the food you eat, where that's come from, because a lot of food that you eat today has probably come from abroad, so that's had to fly and what's called air miles from somewhere else. And also the clothes that you buy. There's a term, fast fashion, so people buy clothes and then just use them and don't really use them that, and then go and buy some more clothes, and there's a huge amount of clothes that go to waste that way. You can go online and Google carbon footprint, and you can do your own carbon, you can work out your own carbon footprint on websites. I think it's World Wildlife Fund has got a very good questionnaire that you can fill in, and it comes up instantly with what your carbon footprint is.
Thank you, Mr. Kins, for taking part in this podcast. We're going to talk to you later in the future.
Thank you very much.
We have heard from a number of guests about the impact of our travel decisions on our local environment and the world around us. So that brings us to the main conversation of the day. What are some simple things anyone can do to reduce their carbon footprint and lead a healthier life? Our special guests will be chipping in with their top tips on this. Our conversation includes Mr. Kingsland, Ms. Hovey, and Councillor Hirani.
Well, it's Mrs. Hovey here. So what I take from the conversations that we've had today is that two of my top tips would be walk all or part of the way to school and try to cycle to school. Councillor Hirani, my top tip would be use public transport instead of the car. Check out the route with your parents in advance to help you gain confidence, and arrange to travel with someone who lives near you to make your journey safer and more fun.
My top tip is cycling. You've heard from Mr. Barnath earlier on, and lots of teachers cycle to St. Gregory's on a daily basis. So cycle training to make you a more confident cyclist. Get your bike checked at a bike shop or by Dr. Bike, which is funded by Brent Council, to make sure it's roadworthy, and then away you go.
You could arrange to walk to school with friends to catch up on last night's TV programmes, talk about homework, or plan your next social activities.
Managing your school bag so you're not carrying so many heavy books all the time.
Think about what to do if it's raining. You can still walk, but make sure you have an umbrella and raincoat.
You could set your alarm earlier to help you to get up and get everything ready for school the night before, so you're not rushing in the morning.
A brisk walk helps wake up your mind and body so you can prepare for the day ahead.
Thank you to all of our special guests and interviewees. This certainly gives us some food for thought. So, as you heard, our top three recommendations are 1. Walk all or part of the way to school.
2. Dust off your bike and cycle to school.
3. Ditch the car and take public transport.
Why not make a pledge of your own of your actions for World Environment Day?
Look for more information about our competition during our Eco-Active Month, which starts on the 22nd of April.